The Holy Gospel according to Luke, the 12th chapter. Jesus said, "I have come to cast fire upon the earth, and how I wish it were already ablaze. I have a baptism with which to be baptized, and what constraint I am under until it is completed. Do you think that I have come to bring peace to the earth? No, I tell you, but rather division. From now on, five in one household will be divided. Three against two and two against three, they will be divided. Father against son and son against father. Mother against daughter and daughter against her mother. Mother-in-law against her daughter-in-law and daughter-in-law against mother-in-law." He also said to the crowds, "When you see a cloud rising in the west, you immediately say it's going to rain, and so it happens. And when you see the south wind blowing, you say there will be scorching heat, and it happens. You hypocrites, you know how to interpret the appearance of earth and sky, but why do you not know how to interpret the present time?" The Gospel of the Lord.
Praise
you may be seated. Wow. Last Monday, I was freshly back from vacation, from a time of rest and peace in the woods with waterfalls. And I joked with a couple people, couldn't I come back and preach on Psalm 23? Like some nice, peaceful psalm, "The Lord is my shepherd, still waters, restores my soul." But no, today we get this. Jesus talking about division in families, naming the reality of our lives. We get Jesus in full force, speaking in a sense towards justice, saying, "Do you think I've come to bring peace? No, but division." And he talks about bringing fire, and I believe it's not so much a fire of destruction, but he's talking about a fire of renewal. Not the kind of fire that smokes over Minnesota for much of this summer, but the kind of fire that removes invasive species to restore native prairie grass, which might invite us to think, what are invasive things in our lives that are preventing the Word of God from growing more fully? What things need to be cleared out so the Word of Jesus can grow more in our lives? So today we hear from our Good Shepherd, maybe not the words we want to hear, but it might be words we need to hear for us in our world. Someone who writes for World Hunger was writing about this and talking about Jesus saying divisions within families. She writes, "I think immediately of my mother's family. Two sisters on one side of a political divide, three brothers on the other. Once all living under the same roof, they now barely speak. A painful testimony to deeply held convictions." And then she says, "And yet a necessary one. The two sisters and three brothers have long been divided on issues of religion, justice, equality, and fairness, really key things in life." She notes that Jesus' words are not threatening families. He's telling the truth about what discipleship demands. He doesn't bring division where there was none. He exposes the divisions that are already there. We know the divisions there, whether they're in our own lives or in our world. Now, some of the divisions aren't because we're following Jesus. Some just come because we're human and we cannot see eye to eye. And those divisions are so painful, especially if they're in our families or our relationships. And I'm not sure that's the division Jesus is talking about. He's talking about the divisions that do come. Some come because we're following Jesus, because we're trying to live by deeply held convictions and faith on behalf of others. The challenge is some of the divisions come between people who are all trying to follow Jesus. We can't agree on what following Jesus looks like, and that too is a challenge. I mentioned that I was on vacation a couple weeks ago, but I'm also aware that that's a luxury that many in our world do not have. We know that we live in a world that is not at peace. When I think about those who aren't able to have the luxury of a vacation, maybe it's some of you here. You work so many hours or on call when you're away due to the demands of work, and you feel like your job won't let you get away. And then there are others in our world who've lost jobs and have not been able to find new employment, or people who are working two or three jobs around the clock and barely able to support their families, or people who are experiencing deep injustice that has changed their lives drastically, and a peaceful time in the woods and waterfalls is not going to be their reality. So Jesus comes and says, "Do you think I came to bring peace?" No. And I think it's important to know, what peace is Jesus talking about? In the Old Testament, which was originally written in the Hebrew language, the word for peace comes from the word shalom, and it means something far wider than what we normally think of for peace. Shalom wasn't seen as an individual peace with God, or even an internal state of mind. My Bible dictionary notes that peace, or shalom, means wholeness. It means well-being. It describes the ideal human state, both individual and communal. It's about a peace that's meant for the whole community, and it's this ultimate gift from God. So if people are being treated unjustly, no matter who they are, then there's not peace for any of us, at least not in the sense of shalom. Can we have peace? Can we be at peace if not all people are at peace, are experiencing justice? My Bible dictionary, again, when it talks about peace, it also reads that of greater value than peace is obedience to God's will. And I think that's what Jesus is pointing at in our reading today. He's come not to bring an individual peace, but to move us to follow God's will so that all people can experience shalom, a right ordering of the world. Unfortunately, everyone seems to have their own version of what is God's will. We're not on the same page on what that looks like. And sometimes we interpret God's will to be all too closely in line with our own will, with what's comfortable for us. If you read the Bible from cover to cover, it can be confusing. If you read the Bible at all, it can be confusing, which is why people come up with different understandings of what is the will of God. So we try to be as faithful as we can. And we really, what we need to do, once again, is look to Jesus. We're promised in the Gospels that he offers us the clearest vision of who our God is. So if we struggle, what is the will of God? It's not like we're going to get a totally clear vision, but if we look to Jesus, we can follow Jesus and what he does all through the Gospels. Like, how does he interact with enemies? He tells us to act in love towards them. He goes on the cross and he forgives them. How does he work for those who are being unjustly treated and who are vulnerable? He flips the tables of the money changers. And he comes alongside those most cast aside to heal and teach and welcome them. So if our faith and what we work for is not working for that, for the care of the vulnerable and those unjustly treated, we may not be fully following Jesus. We might be following something else. And we see this theme all through our scriptures today. If we touch just briefly on what we heard from Jeremiah, there we heard of God speaking condemnation on prophets who are speaking lies in God's name. So the false prophets in Jeremiah, they're telling people what they want to hear so people believe it. They're leading people astray. So that was a problem in Jeremiah's time. And we live in a time today where it seems people aren't sure what is true. Or we want to believe something is true, so we trust it regardless of if it is true. We also read today from Psalm 82. And the psalmist there shares God's words that cry out that all the foundations of the earth are shaken. Why are the foundations of the earth shaken? The psalm writer says it's because of the injustice of human beings. In the psalm, God asks, "How long will you judge unjustly and show favor to the wicked?" And then God issues this call, "Save the weak and the orphan. Defend the humble and needy. Rescue the weak and poor. Deliver them from the power of the wicked. The foundations of the earth are shaken because those things are not happening. Years ago, when I was in Pennsylvania, I was in my office one day, and I remember sitting there, and all of a sudden, the entire room shook. The foundation of the earth moved. In a place that doesn't have earthquakes, we suddenly had this very tiny earthquake. There was no damage done, but those of us in the building all went and found each other, and we're like, did you feel that? We were also shocked and totally unnerved by the foundation itself being shaken. At times, it can feel like the foundation of our lives is being shaken. It's unnerving, whether it's being shaken by injustice or by painful divisions within our families or our friendships or our community. Yesterday, I had the privilege of getting to officiate at the wedding here at Calvary, and one of the scriptures that the couple chose for the wedding was from Matthew. It was toward the end of the Sermon on the Mount, and it read that the one who hears Jesus' words, and the words that they're referring to are words throughout the Sermon on the Mount, words about blessing those who are vulnerable, words about forgiving, about not judging, about doing to others as you would have them do to you. Jesus says then, the reading we read was, whoever hears and acts on these words is like someone who has built their house on rock, on a firm foundation. The rain fell, the floods came, and the winds blew and beat on that house, but it did not fall because it had been founded on rock, on the rock of Jesus Christ, on his word for us, which endures forever. May each of us be empowered to not work for an easy peace that avoids conflict and discomfort for us, but may we be empowered to work for a peace that is shalom, that is about wholeness and a right ordering of our world, not just for us and our own, but for the most vulnerable among us. And we strive for working for that wholeness, living out Jesus' word, even if it may create division among those who may disagree, or among those who interpret things differently, because it's the way of Jesus. And even where there's that division or disagreement, with the Holy Spirit's power and strength, even in that division, we can still live out the love of Christ. Even in the midst of division and disagreement, we all can still hold each other in prayer, treat one another with human dignity, and act like we love each other even if we're not feeling it. And living this way, Jesus' way above all those other ways, that gives a firm foundation for our lives built on Jesus Christ. And that foundation cannot be shaken. It will withstand whatever divisions we live through in this life. Thanks be to God. Amen.